¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply. What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Welcome to part two of our interview with June Matthews about her home and the reliving, as the title of her book states, of her haunted house in Washington. Take us further in. What were some of the other events that initially occurred that made you go, In fact, take us up to a tipping point. Take us up to, what was the combination of things that made you go, okay, maybe I'm wrong on this whole no ghost thing.
I'm going to say, I was here somewhere between 6 and 9 months before I actually, without a doubt, believed. But there was a lot of things that happened. We have a door downstairs that goes to this room we call the water room. Uh-huh. And there's like this really weird old sink, and it has the water heater, and it's like the utility room, but it's very strange. And for a utility room, it's enormous. And it has a door, and from the family room, that door, it's just a big wooden door. And there's no reason for it to be open. And I'd go downstairs and the door would be open. And I'd close the door. And the next time I had to go back downstairs, the door would be open. But I'm the only one here. At one point, I did try to attribute it somehow to the cats.
Okay.
But our cats somehow figured out how to open this door. So I double-checked it, and it was still happening. It didn't make any sense, but I never saw it actually open. And then I started keeping a journal to keep track of it, because besides that door, there were all these noises. And once the movers had moved our stuff, we had 100 boxes that they'd placed downstairs. And so there were, like, many, many places where somebody could hide.
Sure.
And I absolutely, completely started believing that we had somebody sneaking into the house. Because a series of just bizarre things were happening. One afternoon, I was on the phone with one of my friends, and put the phone down at the kitchen table. We have four cordless phones. I put the phone down at the kitchen table. We have other phones downstairs. But I went downstairs to get something. I came back upstairs. I was going to call my daughter, and the phone wasn't at the kitchen table. And I thought, my God, I'm just losing my mind. Where the hell is this phone? And then I looked around, and I'm trying to get one of the other phones. I can't find any of the phones. When I did finally find them, they were stacked up, like 3, 2, 1. And, you know, like a little pyramid thing.
Sure.
On the floor in the living room. And we had extra phones that we didn't have a need for. So the actual four phones that were in our house that were working were part of this. Then there was extra phones that I hadn't even done anything with yet. So to me, there was somebody in the house. Somebody had taken all my phones and they were just messing with me. And I'd come out into the kitchen at night and the cabinet drawers would be open. But I hadn't even gotten to the silverware yet. There's no reason to open the drawer. Why the hell is the drawer open? And I could hear noises downstairs. Things started, like, missing. I had, we have, like, an enormous-looking old antique phonograph. You know, those wind-up record player things. And it has a big trumpet thing, you know, where the sound would come out of. This is pretty large. Like, it's a very big item. And then I know where it was, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. It wasn't there. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find it for days. And I just knew someone was breaking in here, and they were hiding. And that part, for me, was just terrifying. And I still didn't want to tell my husband about it when he'd come home because, you know, I didn't have any evidence. Like, nothing made any sense. There'd be some, other than things are missing and moved and it's noisy, there wasn't anything that, you know, there's no proof. There's no evidence that another human being was even in here.
What made you finally tell him what was going on?
I tried to, my daughter ended up moving to Washington. And so she, of course, was going to stay with us. Right before she moved here, her and I had been talking on the phone a lot, getting prepared for her to come out. And she, you know, I would tell her and one of my sons what was happening. Both of them immediately thought the house was haunted, and I was like, oh, my God, you're so silly. And I tried to tell him once before she got here, and then a couple times after she had moved here and was in the house with me. And I don't know, his reaction was, I never said, oh my God, our house is haunted or anything like that. But I told him that there was kind of a bunch of weird stuff that was happening. Oh my God, wait a minute. I remember, this was weird. Some of the things that happened here are the stupidest things. He had come back from his second or third trip and he was asking me that morning about this little tiny travel-sized thing of foot powder. And I said, I haven't seen it. I don't even know what you're talking about. And he went outside, got dressed, went outside to go do something, and I was unpacking stuff inside the house. When he was finished with, taking down a tree and moving some garbage and stuff, when he came back in and he was changing his clothes, he started laughing. And I said, "What's so funny?" And he said, "Well, isn't that really cute of you? So where'd you find it?" And I said, "I don't know what the hell you're talking about." And he said, "The foot powder, where'd you find it?" And I said, "I've never seen your foot powder. I don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "Oh, come on, you put it in my slipper." And he said, "The foot powder, the little travel thing was shoved up into the toe of his slipper." And I was like, I swear to God, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, "Well, you had to have done it." And I said, "You know, I didn't do it, but a lot of weird stuff happens here." And he said, like what? And he said it so sarcastically that I was just like, well, you know, just weird things happen.
Sure.
You know, it's a new house. And then, so that was the first time I ever brought anything up. And then when I did kind of try to approach him, when my daughter was here, his reaction, it was almost like he got angry. And that was completely out of character for him. We're extremely happily married. He never speaks to me angry. It was just, you know, he just turned around and looked at me and said, "You know, the house isn't haunted." And he just became angry about it. Well, I found out why he was angry later, but at the time, the first thing I thought of when he got mad was the Amityville Horror movie.
Sure.
Where the husband's mood changes and he becomes all angry.
Sure. Why was he angry? What'd you find out later?
He didn't want to play into anything. He didn't want to tell me anything. Turned out he was already having experiences of his own.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were here. Mm-hmm. And he had to leave me here to do his job.
Sure.
And so at the time, I guess this is what he thought was the best thing to do. He didn't want to say, "Yeah, I know.
Sure.
The house is haunted. See ya. Have a great week."
Yeah. He's probably halfway thinking, "Well, these things are happening to me. Maybe they're not happening to her. I don't want to scare her." And probably just a lot of frustration there of, we just got through this big frustrating move and cleanup and all that, and now we're dealing with this. It's just one thing after another. It probably just built up with him. So how bad did things get? Give me some of the highlights here of, you know, what were some of the, I know you're still there, but I'm assuming things have maybe calmed down a bit. Is that accurate?
Nothing here stays the same.
Okay.
So, now that we're talking about the part where I've accepted this.
Yeah. What were some of the bigger things that continued to occur? Because I knew you had gathered EVPs. You really started to look into it. What were some of your findings? What were some of the bigger things that stood out to you when you really started digging into the house?
One of the very first things that happened, where I got my husband's, or I felt like at the time I got my husband's attention, we'd had a workman come into the house, and there were some things that needed to be fixed, and we were constantly having trouble with the plumbing and the electricity. And so we have a... I'm sorry. I'm in a lot of pain, and it gets really hard for me to stay concentrated. I apologize.
Sure.
The guy came and did some work at the house, and one of the things I said was, "Hey, while you're in the attic, could you please help figure out why the fan doesn't work? Above our staircase, we have a big fancy fan with deer antlers and stuff, And I wanted the fan to work because the windows here are kind of strange, so we don't have, like, cross ventilation.
Sure.
And so he went up and he checked it, and he said, well, I'm sorry, but it was never connected. And where it's located is right above our staircase, so it's very difficult to get to. It's not like you can just reach up and pull the chain.
Sure.
It has a remote control, but, of course, I couldn't make it work because it didn't work.
Yeah.
And he said that he thinks that whoever put this thing in didn't realize. So they inserted it, they drilled the hole, inserted this thing into the ceiling from this side.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know what the hell they did on the inside, because he said this, the attic shrinks down so far that you can't get to it.
Yeah.
You can't crawl up there anymore. And so you're quite a few feet from any wires, and nothing's connected. Everything was just loose up there.
Mm-hmm.
So about a month after that, I woke up, and I have a really hard time sleeping here. So something woke me up, and I came out to make a cup of coffee, and the fan was moving. And I went and caught my husband, and I said, you need to get out of bed right now. And he was, you know, irritated. He's like, you know, it's 4 a.m. What the hell do you want from me? And like, what are you doing? And I said, get up right now. And I brought him into the hallway, and I said, look, the fan's moving. And he's like, oh, great, you got the fan to work. I'm like, no, the fan's moving. It's not hooked up to anything. And he said, well, it has to be. And I said, yeah, I know, but I was told it's not hooked up to anything, and now it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped. And I was really pissed off that his attitude about it was so, you know, he was like, oh, well, it fixed itself.
Yeah.
So, then there were quite a few, you know, we had a lot of electrical issues, plumbing, our shower would go on by itself,
mm-hmm.
toilets would flush by themselves. A lot of those things still happen, and now that we're at that part where, you know, I'm a believer, now I'm going to start sounding crazy. It's like they don't want to be rude to each other. So whoever the hell it is that moves the fan, it's like one thing will happen, and then it may not happen for a year or two.
Okay.
But then something else will happen. And it's almost like nothing happens at the same time. So if the lights are flickering or all the power's shut off, there won't be banging. But then there's banging, and then everything. It's like they're taking turns.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds nuts.
They're taking turns freaking you out because they don't want to all do it at once. It's like, it's your week, and it'll be our week next week. We'll just take a break. Tell me about some of the EVPs that you collected in the house, and what, I know you said some were very, very clear. What did you conclude from that? What did you find?
As far as answers to anything,
mm-hmm.
we don't have any answers.
Okay.
I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But the EVPs, the very first one I did with my daughter, and we were completely shocked. When we played that back, out of nowhere, our dogs started barking, and I figured they had ruined the recording. And I'd never done this before, so I didn't know what I was expecting to hear, but the dogs were going crazy. And when you played back the recording, you could hear a man in response to my daughter's question, are you the one waking up my mom? And do you not want her to sleep? Why do you keep waking her up? Stuff like that. And the response was that, I don't give a fuck. And then fuck you and fuck off.
Wow.
A couple of things like that.
Yeah.
And you could distinctly tell between the dogs and this man And unfortunately, that was our first EV, the first recording we ever made. And in all the thrill and panic at the same time of having this on tape, I accidentally deleted it. Instead of, you know, trying to play it back and stop, I pressed delete.
Yeah.
And, but a lot of the other ones, they're fascinating to me. There are children, women, and men. The men are saying, or at least they sound male. There are numerous men. Did you just open a door?
Yeah.
Okay. There are numerous men asking for help, saying, help me, and there's different voices. There's a child's voice. I can't make out everything, but you can clearly hear something like she's either saying a name or something, but it doesn't sound like English. And then she says, they can hear me. And she sounds like an excited little girl talking to somebody. It sounds, most of them sound like my friend will, I have a friend who drove all the way out here on numerous occasions just to record the house and try to help me figure this out. And so she will ask a question are you willing to communicate with us? And then after she says it, you can hear a man, and it sounds like he's repeating what she said to somebody else, and then there'll be an answer like yes, or something like check this house. Just strange. Nothing, not one time has anything ever made any sense. We have probably 50 recordings, and in all of that, there's not one thing that answers anything. Like they'll, the question can be, are you willing to communicate with us? Do you need help? They'll answer, yes, help me, something like that. But for, I don't know, a straight year, I was asking if there's something I can do. How do I help you? How can I help? I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to find out from this. Sure. I don't, This, it's frustrating because in all the movies and all the TV shows, they're always doing like recordings, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, now we know, we have answers to everything. I don't have answers to anything.
Yeah, there's no resolution to any of this. If you had to guess and you had to say, at least your best assumption, who do you think these people are, and why do you think they're there?
Okay. The location that I live in, where I live, is in unincorporated town. And it's been an it's always been that way since 1883, I think it was. I could be wrong, but it's in the late 1800s. And we know for a fact that there was wood mills here. I have the Little Spokane River across the street. There's documentation that there was a wood mill and, that they used that river to help transport logs. There's like a valley across the street, it's why it floods in the spring. There's big mountains behind it, and then we're on a big mountain, and then there's this valley in between. And so we know that there was a brothel, and we know that there was wood mills. We know it was unincorporated, so there was also no law here. And I don't have any information that I can say that this is a fact, but I have done some research. And I've come across the same kind of repetitive thing regarding areas that are similar to where I live, with the brothel and the wood mill. Well, back then, when women were at these brothels, they didn't have, these would be pretty desperate women, or they're against their will. And there was, the men that would go to that kind of establishment, going to one like the one we would have had, and these are other towns, so I'm not saying this for certain happened in our town, but it, some of this has been documented for other towns similar to ours. So basically what they do is they could do whatever they wanted to the women, and a lot of times they'd end up dead. And the owners of the brothel would take the bodies up the mountain, because who the hell's ever going to find them in the mountain? Because at the time, who's going to ever build there?
That wraps up part two of our interview with June Matthews about her haunting in Washington and her book, The Reliving. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.